Excellent. So we're calling this meeting to order, and we're asking our secretary to call the roll.
Okay, I'm going to go by alphabetical order of the last name. Teresa Allen.
Alan is present.
Christina Avalos. Nope. Verna Avery Brown. Kaja Brown.
Roger Brown is present.
Michael Chang's present. Violeta Diamond.
Who is that?
Violeta Diamond.
Oh.
James Dingman has an excused absence. Fred Osworth.
That's me. I'm present. Thank you.
Anthony Fest. Okay. Sally Gallagher.
Here.
Jan Goodman.
Jan Goodman present.
Nikki Hahn.
Here.
And Julie Hewitt is now voting.
I am here.
Yes. John Kelly McPherson.
Sean asked for a pass because he's not sure he's going to be able to make it. He's on the road.
Okay. Tori Mercer. Minerva Sanders.
Tori says that he cannot make it. Tori Mercer cannot make it.
So is it
I'm present. This is Minerva. I'm present. And I think Vernon and Violetta are in a meeting. I'm trying to text them now.
Michael D.D. White.
Michael has also asked for an excused absence.
Okay. Susan Young. Non-voting.
Susan, you need to signal your presence. Susan, signal your presence, please. Susan, we didn't hear you signal your presence. It's got to go on the stream.
You're muted, Susan. Now you're unmuted, but we can't hear you.
Oh, Jim's come in too.
Jim Dingman?
Jim, you want to signify your presence? You're muted.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to the no response. Christina Avalos?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Verna Avery Brown? Not yet. Violeta Diamond? Anthony Fest? Okay, so that's it.
That's it.
Yep. Three are missing.
And I think three have asked for excused absences. We have not gotten excused absences from the others.
Right. Excused absences got three.
I'll text Anthony and see if he is available.
By the by, just so everybody knows, I sent this to the Google Doc, to the Google group. So everybody got it there. But I also sent personal invites to people like Anthony and Violeta, et cetera, because some people seem to be having trouble. So everybody on the team has gotten an invite. Okay. I guess we now go to the chair election results. The election was held and I was nominated and got 14 votes I won the election. So I'm the chair. That's 1 minute. I have sent the agenda out to everybody. I assume everybody's seen the agenda.
Yes.
Do I hear any objection to approving the agenda?
No.
Hearing no objection, the agenda has been approved. Now we need to approve the minutes of 4:11, and that was sent out a long time ago. I'm hoping that everybody, Verna is here. Michael. So,
okay.
Verna, can you say your name so we know you're here?
Yes, Verna Avery Brown.
Thank you.
You know, I am not on the list to be notified about these meetings.
Well, let's deal with that offline. I did send you a personal invite as well, because I know some people are not on it, and it may have gone to spam. But let's talk about this offline, and we'll make sure that we fix that. So I know it was a long time ago that everybody approved, saw the minutes. Is there any objection to approving the minutes of 4/11/2024? Hearing none, I'm going to assume they're approved. I apologize for the meeting that we missed. There was a foul up between several people who were involved, and I will take all responsibility for that, but that's why we are now at our third meeting. Meeting ground rules, and everyone is allowed to speak if you're on the committee for 90 seconds on any issue, the second time around for 60 seconds, and the third time around for 30 seconds. I need a timekeeper. Is anybody willing to be the timekeeper? Don't all rush to the front. We'll move on to that. Please keep it professional and not personal.
I will be a timekeeper.
Thank you, Jen. Please keep it professional and not personal. You must be recognized by the chair to speak. Today's date is, correct me if I'm wrong, May 9th. At 5:45, and we have achieved quorum. This is now going to move into the section called Bylaws Amendment Discussion by Julie Hewitt. And we get 35 minutes of Julie's undivided attention. And I will try to figure out how to time that because,
Okay. Jan Goodman here. I'm going to time individuals and not.
Yes, you're going to time individuals. I'm hoping that.
Sanders.
And I'm going to excuse myself for a second to go get a timer and I'll be back.
Okay. Minerva, I didn't.
Fred, this is Minerva. Yeah, I'll do the 35 minutes. I'll do the
bless
timer.
You.
So don't.
Bless
look
you.
For
bless
it.
You.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. No.
I really appreciate that, Minerva. And I really appreciate Jan's offer to time individuals. So. Julie, the show is yours.
Gotcha. Thank you, Fred. So, first off, so everybody knows, I have no intention of speaking for 35 minutes. I don't have 35 minutes of material here. But so I'm hoping that there will be some discussion. But one of the things that I thought would be kind of valuable to start this conversation with is just a really quick high-level overview of what we have to do to change our bylaws, right? And so, some people probably know this, you know, backwards and forwards, and others, maybe this is the first time you're really paying attention to this, or maybe it's your first time on the governance committee. So everything about how we change the bylaws is in Article 17 of the bylaws, which is towards the end. And it's Section 1. Article 17 covers how to change the bylaws and how to change the articles of incorporation, but that's Section 2. So it's only Section 1 of Article 17. And it's just about 2 pages if you're looking at the PDF version, so it's not a whole lot of material. Section A, and I think there are just 2 sections, Section A and Section B within within Section 1, Section A is probably not the right word, you know, Paragraph A. Paragraph A is all about how you propose amendments. And so there's 3 different ways amendments can be proposed. The first one is a group of directors can propose amendments, and the governance committee would qualify as a group of directors that could propose amendments. The second way is an even larger group of delegates, and the third way is a larger still group of members. And so I'm not going to talk about those two things because we're the governance committee and we're focused on, you know, that director pathway. So that's what you need to know mostly out of paragraph A. Paragraph B, still in this section one, is on voting and approval. And a lot of, so then within paragraph B, there's like subparagraph one and subparagraph two. And so that first paragraph, subparagraph, is about process. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about the process, not to say that it's not important at all, because it is important, but you have to have amendments for the process to really, you know, amendments on the table for the process to really matter. But let me just give you a flavor of the kinds of things that are in there. And the first thing is that you have to set a notice date and you have to set a notice period. And so the notice date is the first date that you say to people, here are our bylaws amendments that we're proposing. And then the amendment period is basically a period of time where those bylaws or amendments are out there for people to consider. No one votes on them during that period. It's called the notice period. Okay. And like I said, the other details of that subparagraph become more important once we have bylaws, you know, that we're ready to propose to people. But it means you're giving people adequate opportunity to understand what those amendments are about. Okay. So then there's subparagraph two, and that paragraph is about how you adopt bylaws amendments. I mean, the subparagraph one talks about voting, but subparagraph two talks about the four pathways. And so this is another important distinction that it's worth this, you know, making sure that everybody in this group understands. So the first pathway is, so I'm going to go through all the pathways and then I'm going to talk about the exceptions. And so as long as none of the exceptions apply, the first pathway is that a majority of all the directors of the PMB and a majority vote of all delegates of at least three stations and that those votes occur within 45 days of the last day of the notice period. So in other words, there's kind of, if there are bylaws amendments out there, you can't vote on them in less than 30 days, but they have a sell-by date and you have to vote on them by that sell-by date, which is 45 days later. Okay. There's another important distinction about those majority votes, and I said it, but I didn't dwell on it. It's a majority of all directors and a majority of all delegates. In other words, it's not a majority of the people who attend that meeting, you know, for quorum purposes. It's, you know, for LSBs, you know, assuming they have all 24 members, it would be a vote of at least 13 would be the majority. And for the PNB, which currently has 22 members, the majority would be 11, so you need a vote of at least 12. Okay, so it's all directors, not just those who happen to be present at that meeting. Okay, so that's the first pathway. And I'll come back to the exceptions that explain why you maybe can't use that voting method in a little bit. But let me hit the other three pathways and then we'll come back to those exceptions. The second pathway is if it would come to pass that our bylaws conflict with state or federal statute or regulation, in some other little words, which I'm just going to skip over, but also that time is of the essence, then it can be passed, the bylaws amendments can be passed by a majority vote of all directors on the PMB, and then there's a proviso that that has to be reported back to the membership very quickly. But the key is that time is of the essence so that there's some sort of, you know, they don't use the word emergency, but you could almost think of it as an emergency. There's a reason that you need to act with speed And so there's the ability for only the PMB to vote on something if it conflicts with other, you know, kind of basically higher authorities, state or federal law or regulations, and there's a need for speed. So that's the second pathway. The third pathway is an awful lot like the second pathway, except that the need for speed is no longer present, right? So it's where it comes to our attention that somehow our bylaws conflict with state or federal statute or regulation. And then it looks a lot like that first pathway at this point, which is to say that the PMB can take a majority vote of all directors and a majority vote of all delegates at least three of the stations. Okay. And so the difference there is, you don't need, this to have come to you, you know, by some other pathway. It's that you've just realized that there's a conflict with state or federal laws and regulations. Okay. And so then the fourth possible, pathway is, and this particularly applies to, those member petitions, which, you know, I said there were three ways that bylaws amendments could be proposed. And even though I wasn't going to spend a lot of time talking about, you know, the other two, I was going to mostly talk about the ones that come from a set of directors. Nonetheless, just to round out, you know, your understanding of what is in this section. If there's a member petition, first thing that happens is it goes to a vote of the PNB and the LSBs. Similar to the previous things that I talked about, it would have to pass by a majority vote there. Whether it passes or not, it then goes on to a vote of the membership in case of these exceptions, right? And so one of the things I wanted to do, because this would be something that, you know, depending on what kind of bylaws amendments we entertain, this is an important set of distinctions for people to understand. So even though we don't have a member petition in front of us, what I wanted to do now was talk about what those exceptions are. But before I talk about those exceptions, just wanted to, like, that's a lot of stuff that I just threw at you. And I just want to pause and see if anybody has questions about what I've said so far.
I have a question. Are you talking about the Article 17? I'm looking at the bylaws right now.
Yes.
Article 17, and then there's Articles and Incorporation Bylaws. The bulk of your discussion earlier was about voting and approval, the number B, correct?
Yep. Right.
Okay. I'm clear now.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in Article or Paragraph B. It's just under paragraph B, there are a bunch of subparagraphs, and that's what I've been talking about mostly. But
under paragraph B, there's 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
And 4, and 5.
Yep.
Right? I got it.
You're right. Okay. Mm-hmm. More question?
Teresa here. When you said it had to go be approved by LSBs, it would just have to be approved by at least three of the LSBs by just a majority of all of the directors and delegates.
The delegates. Yes, that's correct.
At least a majority, 3 out of 5. Thank you.
Correct. Right. So it's a majority of the delegates at a majority of the stations, if you will, because 3 out of 5 is a majority. Okay.
And, okay. When you said, there's a petition, and let's say the petition comes out and it's approved by the PNB and it's approved by 3 of the 5, it still needs to go to the membership?
Well, so the point is that's where the exceptions come into play. So that's what I wanted people to understand is what those exceptions are, because that's where this comes into play. Okay. So I haven't started telling you about those exceptions yet, but that's, unless there are more questions, that's what I was going to start talking about now.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. So.
So I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Jan.
So in the member petitions that has to be voted on by the PNB and three of the five LSBs.
Right.
But nevertheless, it still has to be voted on by the membership. Is that correct?
Well, it's.
So what's the, and just leading to the point of what's the point of the PNB and the LSBs voting on it? Or is that one of those things that just ended up still in the bylaws, even though it has no like purpose?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. So if it's a set of bylaws amendments that come out of a member petition or a membership petition that doesn't have any of these exceptions in it, the exceptions that I haven't told everybody about yet, it actually does not have to go to a vote of the full membership. Okay. Uh-huh. And so then if the PNB approves it and you know, by a majority of all directors and at least three of the five LSBs, by a majority of all delegates approve it, then it's adopted. But the rub is that there's a good chance that, you know, a membership petition doesn't meet all of these exceptions that I'm about to read to you. And so that's when bylaws, you know, this next list that I'm going to read is the critical part. That's the difference between things that have to go to a membership vote and things that don't. Right. So that's a really important thing. So here they are. So, okay. Go ahead. Somebody else was going to ask you a question. Go ahead, Jan.
I just want to just finish this. So if it doesn't have an exception and it has to go to the membership vote anyway, what's the point of having the PNB? Wasting all the time of having the PNB vote and the local station boards vote.
Okay, let me say it again.
Maybe I have it backwards.
No. Let me say it again a little bit more clearly. Two things can happen when a membership petition comes, right? If the PNB and three of the five LSBs approve it and it doesn't have those exceptions, it's adopted, end of story. Okay. But because it was a membership petition, if it's not passed by a majority of the PNB and three of the five delegates, then it has to go to a membership vote because it was a membership petition, whether it has these exceptions or not. Okay.
But if there's an exception and it has to go to a membership vote anyway.
Yes. It doesn't matter the outcome of the vote at the PNB and LSB's level because it still has to go to a full membership vote.
So that's just a waste of time then.
Well, you know, maybe that's for people to decide, but
it has to go anyway.
It has to go anyway to a membership vote. So let's focus on, and there are five things that cause it to go to a membership vote. Okay. So let's go through those. So the first one is if it increases or extends the terms of directors or delegates. Okay. So that's a thing that, you know, it's like you might think that the LSBs and the PNB were voting in some sort of self-interest. And so the check on that self-interest behavior is you go to a membership vote. Okay. The second thing, reason why it would have to go, is if it increases the quorum for members' meetings or members' actions. Okay. We don't have a lot of members' meetings and members' actions, so that may not come into play very much. The third reason is if it changes proxy rights, and I'm not altogether clear how many instances.
We don't have any proxy rights,
so that's, you know, maybe not all that terribly important. The fourth reason is if it authorizes a cumulative voting or a change in the voting methods or the manner of counting ballots. So in other words, how you count the votes, if it's a change in that, that's kind of like a fundamental sort of democracy thing. And so that's one of the things that would have to go to a vote of the membership. And then the fifth reason is if it materially and adversely affects a member's rights as to voting or transfer. So again, if you would say something like, you know, listener members can vote in this way, but staff members have to vote a different way, that would be changing. I just made that up. That's a total hypothetical, right? I'm not advocating that at all. But that would be the kind of thing that would, because you've changed people's, you know, voting rights, you know, that would probably have to go to a vote of the full membership. So, okay, so just to sort of summarize where we were, I started off saying there were four pathways, right? And it was like how you vote on them. And that's, you know, basically the four sections of paragraph two. And for each of those, I said, you know, if the exceptions didn't apply, you know, you might be able to pass them, but if the exceptions applied, then it would have to go to a membership vote. And so now I've gone through what those exceptions were. And so you can see some things can be passed just by the PNB majority vote and a majority vote at least three of the five LSBs, as long as the count, the majority is all directors or all delegates. But other things would have to go to a vote of the membership. And so I think that's an important distinction we all are going to want to think through as we talk about, you know, what are the things we want to put forward? Because some things will trigger a membership vote, other things won't, right? And so, for instance, you know, one of the things that we could work on would be, you know, whether we have any inconsistencies in our bylaws with California or federal law and regulations. And if we did, that would be an example where we could just, if we came across those, we could just take care of that with PNB and LSB delegate voting. We wouldn't have to go to a membership vote. So that's kind of like the big picture of the process of how we do this. You know, again, just to remind you at the very beginning, I said, if we have bylaws amendments, there's that notice period. The notice period has to be at least 35 days. And then there's basically a 45-day period in which all the LSBs and the PNB would have to vote in that same 45-day period. And that's basically what our bylaws say about how to amend the bylaws. So that's the kind of like processy stuff. Any other questions about that? Teresa, that was an audible sigh. Was that overly complicated?
No.
Okay, good. And so then, you know, now what we want to do is start talking about things like tackling, you know, the kinds of ideas that people have put forward in terms of things that we've observed that are, you know, kind of wrong or awkward or difficult about our bylaws, right? And, you know, I acknowledge that everybody is going to have a different viewpoint about, you know, the things that they think that are, you know, really important to be changed. But, you know, clearly one of the things that's the case is that, you know, we have some things in our bylaws about how we set up meetings and the timing of meetings and so on and so forth. And, you know, the bylaws were drafted, well before, wait a minute, before I start talking about substance, a couple of people have joined the meeting and I want to maybe make sure that they get a chance to announce themselves and Michael gets a chance to record them.
Violetta Diamond, Michael, Violetta Diamond joined at 5:45. Can you say your name, Violetta, please?
Violetta, I'm here.
Great. And Anthony Fest joined at 5:54. Can you say your name, Anthony?
Yeah, Anthony Fest is present and hopes the Zoom will be sent out more promptly and widely in the future.
I actually sent it out to you a couple days ago, personally, separately.
Obviously missed it. Thank you.
Well, I will continue to do that because I know some people are having trouble with the Google Groups. I would like to hear Julie talk about her top three or top five bylaw changes that you have thought about over the last several years that you've been doing the chair and engaged in the community.
Yeah. So I do think there are a couple of, to me, there's a sort of longish list of small inconsistencies and, other, you know, awkwardnesses because our bylaws were drafted so long ago and we just need to modernize them, right? Things like, you know, the PNB always has to have these votes to ratify, I'm sorry, pass a motion to ratify an electronic vote because our bylaws don't give us the authority specifically to conduct ballots electronically. And, in, you know, so there are a bunch of those kinds of things. I think a lot of those things are going to be non-controversial. And I think they ought to be pretty easy to do. It'll be a longish list of changes. But, you know, to me, it just seems like it's time for the governance committee to, you know, accomplish those kinds of things. Because, again, they should be non-controversial. And, you know, it's a good time to, you know, take care of things like that. So I feel like that's super important because it will help with the efficiency, right? Really? So that's one category. Go ahead.
Motion one that we got in was to deal with administrative gaps or errors in the process. The Pacifica Foundation interface with listeners, members, and governance representatives. Would that all fit in that particular committee?
So I didn't have time to read motion one, so
I know, that's why I read it aloud.
Yeah,
deal with administrative gaps or errors in the process of the
Pacifica
Foundation's interface with listeners, members, and governance representatives.
I think the answer is that it would, right?
That's on the agenda for us to deal with as motion one. What's next on your agenda?
Okay, so another thing that I think is an important thing for this group to consider are two things related to delegates and directors and replacement of them. So the first thing that I would say as part of that is we have run into a number of issues over the years where it is, this being Pacifica, it is sometimes the case that people say they're resigning in a fit of pique in a meeting because, you know, you just get to the end of your rope and you're like, I've had it, I quit. And you say it out loud and everybody thinks you've quit. And then sometimes people, you know, say, well, so-and-so didn't really mean it, right? And they've decided they take it back. And so one of the things that we ought to do is make resigning as a delegate or a director, you know, make it be part of our bylaws that we say, you resign, in writing. And so therefore somebody has to actually take the time and trouble to resign in writing. And unless you give an effective date for your resignation that's other than the date of that you send your resignation in, you know, if you send it in, it's either effective immediately or if you give a different date, it's effective as of that date, right? So that's part one. And then part two is how do you replace people who resign, right? I mean, we also have other ways that people leave as directors and or delegates. And there are provisions for that already in the bylaws. And I'm not saying you change those things. It's things like if you're a partisan candidate for office, and I think there's something about, you know, you are effectively resigned as soon as you have, you know, become a partisan candidate for office. Death is another possibility. And I feel like there's something else. Well, you can resign. You can get kicked off, but that's different. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. But how people get replaced. And so we have a process that we talk about in our bylaws where we go back to the list of the people who were elected, the list of people who were on the, stood for election the previous time, and you exhaust that list. So people, I'll say it clearly. people stand for election. The top vote getters get elected as delegates, but there are runners up. And so then you go to the runners up list, and there's sometimes been confusion about, you know, who's next on the runners up list. And, you know, there's always, you know, it just seems to me every time that happens, there's a lot of complaining. And so there's not enough transparency around that process, I think. And then the other thing is, I think there are people who are concerned that, you know, at some point you can get down to the last person on the list and they could have gotten exactly one vote and they would be on that list. And then the question is that actually better than, finding someone who, could get a majority, I'm just proposing this here, right? But that it would be within the hands of an LSB to say we have an LSB vacancy. We're down to the part of our runners up list where people got, you know, only one or two votes, and that maybe what we ought to do is, in fact, you know, you could say we'll still go to those, but it might be the case that they still have to be acceptable. You could add a level of for those runners up to be voted on, they have to be voted in by a majority of the LSB, which is a way to say, well, it's somebody who could at least get, you know, 13 votes, not just somebody who gets one vote. So it adds a little bit of, you know, democracy, if you will, to the process. So I think that's another super duper important category of bylaws amendments. And the reason I say that is because, you know, basically people look at this, because there's a lot of partisan and factional, discussions within Pacifica. It would be better to have really clear cut laws. I mean, you know, bylaws that spell some of these things out. And then you follow those and you try to anticipate, you know, and everybody who's a delegate knows what those things are. They know, oh, if I want to resign, I have to do it in writing, unless I die or become, you know. And another thing that's a category of confusion oftentimes is when somebody misses.
I'm sorry, we've got a minute and about 18 seconds.
When somebody misses three consecutive absences, our bylaws say they're effectively removed immediately. And yet sometimes LSBs like think they have to have a vote on whether to remove that person or not. So there's confusion around that. So that's, I mean, to me, those are the top two categories. There are lots of other things.
A third category that's strong, because we actually have both those two categories on our list.
I think I'm good enough. To me, those are really the top two, my top two, hands down, you know. I mean, there's other things I would do, but I think the other things that I would do, well, I'll just say my third category would be, I really don't love the fact that we have elections in 2 out of 3 years, because it is really hard for members to know the frequency with which we hold elections. The people who are diehard, they come to every meeting, you know, and they listen to governance stuff, even if they're not in governance, they know. But I would argue 90% of our listeners don't understand the frequency with which we hold elections. And that's not good. Okay. We should switch to something that's like.
It's time. You know, I'm sorry. It's time.
No.
There it is.
Every odd year. Sorry.
I'm assuming that people have not read the agenda. So I'm going to just thank you very, very much, Julie. Your information was absolutely fabulous. I'm excited about working with you. These are great ideas. Interestingly enough, several of these ideas have been already brought up as things to deal with. The first motion I mentioned was about how we communicate within and how we access information within. The second motion we reserved was about from Minerva was, well, I shouldn't say who it was from, was the second motion. Well, I'm going to skip that one. The third motion was that bylaws should be changed to allow for virtual and telephone meetings, including our own. Virtually our every LSB meeting is met with an objection, which is not without merit, that the bylaws require meetings to be held in the organization's facility, yet the actual participation in virtual meetings far exceeds what would be feasible for in-person meetings. The fourth is support democracy. It's basically what you just said about filling vacancies. Additionally, there is a motion upon the change of executive financial authority, there should be an audit of accounts performed by a licensed outside financial expert. Additionally, the national business manager should have all original signed copies for any agreement that encumbers the network, including all contracts, whether for personal vendors, personnel vendors, license holders, and purchases of materials or services. That I know that we have had members ask for copies of the contract and complain about not being able to see those. If the business manager had all those originals, that would solve that. Additionally, there was a motion to establish a personnel committee. It is a standing committee to assist the network in screening qualified applicants and complying with workers' rights as well as state and federal regulations. And the sixth one is a system-wide regulation for how stations dispense unpaid voting memberships, establishing minimum requirements and up-to-date documentation for such rights. It was noted to me after I received this notion that this appears to be mandated by the FCC requirements. And so this may not actually be a real problem, but that was certainly brought up. Motion 7 was established that the ED working with the PNB is charged with oversight and all necessary authority over operations and programming for any station operating in a deficit for more than two quarters, that's 6 months in a row. I'd also, so those are the seven motions we've received so far. I would love it if people would read those. I will send them out again. And I'm looking forward to a vigorous discussion about those online in emails to the Google group. And then after we are done with this, we will take this to the PNB, and there'll be more vigorous discussion and amendments at the PNB, and then we'll see whether it goes anywhere. Additionally, I'd like to thank Jim Dingman for and ask for volunteers to step up to assist him. Mr. Dingman has arduously read all of the minutes of the PNB for 2004 and collated them to those that require further investigation. He has started the same process for 2005. We have 18 more years to go through to see in the minutes where we have made changes to the bylaws or made edicts that are no longer in effect and that are conflicting with the other laws and rules and regulations we have. Please reach out to Mr. Dingman and offer him your assistance. Additionally, we need someone to go through the FCC regulations, make sure our bylaws are in compliance. FCC regulations. I was really hoping I could get Kaja Brown, and I've kind of twisted his arm already a couple times, and maybe Michael White or Jan Goodman or some other attorney to do that. We also need somebody to go through the California Corporate Code, especially for nonprofits, to ensure that our bylaws are in compliance with California Corporate Code. And on the thing that I sent out to everybody is the URL for that. We need volunteers. I now open up the floor to any other discussions that anyone might have. I see that Jan has raised her hand. You get 90 seconds, yes. Jan.
And I just wanted to point out that the issue of electronic meetings is taken care of in Article 6, Section 3. It's called telephonic meetings, but it says the board may hold special meetings, but not regular meetings, by telephone conference, video screen communication, or other communication equipment, provided, however, that telephone appearance at regular meetings is not permitted. So I think that what, just as a little bit, you know, would somebody else time me? I'm sorry, I didn't start timing.
Yeah, Minerva's timing you.
Okay, that... maybe what we need to do is to say that all meetings, that we can have regular meetings via telephone or
Zoom
video, but we are permitted to have special meetings. And the reason, basically, right now, just as historical bit of information, is that when these bylaws were passed, we had quarterly meetings of the national board in person. And then when we stopped having those. We started having, they called them special meetings in order to qualify under this section. There actually are regular meetings, but they're called special. So it might be just tweaking this might be a very easy thing to do.
Okay. Good.
Jim,
10 seconds.
Jim, I see your hand up. You're recognized.
Yeah. All right. I'm reacting. I'm on a bus right now, Manhattan. I'm reacting a little bit to what Julie said. One thing that I think is important to consider, and this comes from the old PNB that was replaced, was they actually used to invest themselves in training the PNB board members. They used to have briefing books. They used to actually invest in doing that. And I know we don't have the resources to do that, but I think that that's something that is to benefit everybody, to have not only the PNB people, but the LSV people take advantage of all sorts of local training that's free. But they would actually train them in FCC laws. Now, secondly, another thing I'm looking at very carefully is all the FCC laws relating to fundraising, because we're having controversies about how to implement that. And so I want to throw that into the mix too, although you did mention it earlier, Fred. But we're going to learn a lot. And I've asked people who are sympathetic to us, general managers who helped me with the CPB stuff, put out phone calls to them to give us assistance as to how to handle that problem. So those are two things that I want to do.
10 seconds.
Yeah, okay, fine, done.
Thank you. Michael Chang, you've been recognized.
Fred, you spilled out 7 motions. You said you sent those out in an email.
Yes, I did.
When did you send that out? I didn't get it.
I send them out, I don't know, I guess on Tuesday or Monday.
May 6th?
Yeah.
May 6th is just our first motion for action.
Well, I can only say that I send them out when I send them out. You know, I can't explain how the internet works.
Yeah, yeah. Can you send them again?
Oh, I certainly will. I'm going to send them again. And as Anthony brought up, he had not gotten, something that was sent out to him. I am now sending them out both to the GovCom Google group and separately to named individuals. So everybody should be getting them. Please check your spam folders. And it's Fred Dodsworth at KPFA, not at Gmail, not any other name. Do we have any other questions? Jim, your hand's still up. I assume that's residual. Anybody else have any questions?
Fred, this is Minerva, real quick.
Yes, ma'am.
When I looked at the agenda that you pulled it today, those motions are on with the agenda, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and I'm showing this was Wednesday the 8th.
All right.
At 5:04. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I thought I sent them out the day before that, but maybe it was Wednesday the 8th at 5:04. It's been a hectic couple of days. Any other questions? Any discussion that anybody wants to bring up? Good, we're good to go. You're all going to get these agendas again. Please look at them carefully. Please pick a section that is interesting to you. Put the title as the motion number, and give us your full thoughts on these, on what you think about these, whether you support them, how you would like to change them. And we'll get back together in 2 weeks. I am going to be in Portugal in 2 weeks. Actually, no, so we'll get together in 4 weeks. I'm going to be in Portugal in 2 weeks. I will be at the next PNB meeting. But after that, I'm leaving the nation.
Zoom works from everywhere.
What's the next meeting scheduled?
The governance committee meets at 5:30 Pacific time on Thursday, in opposition to the PNB, so every other week. The PNB is meeting every other week, and we're meeting the off weeks. And I'm trying to keep this, and so far I've been successful at keeping this down to less than an hour and a half. It's currently an hour, and I'm thrilled that it's down to an hour. Anthony Fest, you're recognized.
Yes. Did we ever vote on whether to meet on Wednesdays or Thursdays? I'm not prepared to die on the Wednesday hill, but I'd like to see whether there's at least a majority who would rather meet on Wednesday than on Thursday.
How many people would like to be? Well, I know that Kasia and I can't meet on Wednesday, and this is something that we've talked about. We did have a vote at our first meeting, and it suggested that some people wanted us to vote on it again when more people had actually showed up. But I don't know how to respond to your question. Because it was voted on. What's that?
How about Mondays?
Well, how about everybody email either the governance group or me and tell me what you want, and I will put together a list and see what we've got. I actually know that Nikki really wanted us to meet on a different time than Thursday, but she's managed to meet us every time. Thank you very, very much, Nikki. And I know that was a big deal. I know that Jan would not like to meet on Thursdays because she has a family dinner, but we all have these things that we have to deal with. And I'm trying to keep these down to an hour and a half max. And I really am looking forward to us working mostly offline. I've got my sister-in-law who's retiring tomorrow after a lifetime in work sitting in the other room waiting for me to get this over.
And another administrative matter, can the Zoom link be appended to the agenda? So there's
I don't give the Zoom link. Otis does. So I never know what it is until Otis comes out.
It should be the same way. It should be the same every time.
Yeah.
Whatever it is today, I've written it down in my book. So unless there's a real disaster, it should be the same Zoom code every time.
I'm hoping that somebody else can answer that question because I can't.
Okay.
Julie?
And Fred?
Yes, Minerva.
I'm sorry. No, Julie, go ahead. Your hand was up before mine. I'm next.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify one thing Fred said, which is he said the PMB is meeting every other week, and that's not exactly true. The PMB meets the first and third Thursday of the month, and in months like May, where there are five Thursdays, even if this group decided to meet on the second and the fourth Thursday, that means that there's no meeting on May 30th. So I just wanted to add that.
I would love that.
I would like to say something also. It's kind of like the camel.
Teresa, Minerva's okay. Minerva, you've got the floor.
I was going to ask, you mentioned about working with Julie or working with Jim. Jim, how do people reach out to you if they want to work with you? Is it just going to the Google group? Is that how you want it, Fred, or how do we do that?
I would prefer that Jim gave you his email. Jim, if you have any objection to me giving everybody your email?
No, of course not.
Okay, I will send everybody Jim's email.
Okay.
Now, I'd like to know, Teresa, after you speak, I want to know how many people are getting stuff from the Google group and how many people aren't. But Teresa, you have the floor.
Yes. I'm going to tell you what days I don't want to meet. I thought Kasia didn't want Mondays. So my error, because I've told several people you didn't like Mondays, Kasia.
No, you were correct.
You don't like Mondays.
That's a pretty broad statement.
I mean, I don't have anything against Monday as a day. but no, I'm not available on Monday.
You didn't like Wednesdays.
Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, I am not available. Thursdays, I can do things. I might be willing to do some stuff on a Friday.
Not me.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't like Mondays. I told people I don't like Mondays, and I already have two Mondays scheduled per month of Pacifica Business. But, I'll do what I can.
Thank you, Teresa. I see Michael Chang's hand up.
I misspoke earlier. I did get your email about the seven motions.
Okay, thank you.
So I am getting the message you sent via the Google group.
Great. That's fabulous. Minerva, your hand's up.
Yes. And in terms of meeting, I know that we did talk about this before, but a lot of the LSBs, a good number of them meet on Wednesdays. And there are other meetings and other committees that we're a part of for the other day. So, you know, that's why we came up with this every other Thursday type scenario. But I do remember this coming up before. Thank you.
And somebody, Julie brought it up. It's not every other Thursday, actually. It's the second and third, or what is it? Fourth. So we will meet on the second and fourth Thursdays at 5:30. Is there any objection to that?
I retract my objection.
Well, I would like to say something. I'd like to get it so it's only once a month.
Well, let's see if we can get people to actually respond. And then if we start getting people to actually respond, this is the most we've gotten anybody to respond so far to this committee. And so I'm happy to meet once a month. I'm thrilled.
Well, the nice thing about the LSBs on Wednesdays is that all three of them meet on the same day.
Great.
It's the second Wednesdays. And I would like, my vision was that if you had a bylaw amendment that you were particularly passionate about, that you would actually say, I'd like to work on this, and subcommittees could meet on Fridays or Saturdays or whatever they wanted.
Any damn time they like.
So we could do subcommittees on different days and have this committee meet once a month.
I would love that. But let us get us going a little bit further. Michael, your hands up.
I like the idea of meeting like this once a month. The rest
Me
of the
too.
Time, the rest of the time, a lot of discussion can be done via email, which is, I think, a very efficient way of use our brain power. That everybody can see it at the same time, and you don't have to deal with it at exactly the same moment as everyone else is doing.
Excellent. Sally Gellert, I saw that you made a comment. Are you on the floor?
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with second and third Mondays, because Thursdays, it means I'm missing a program that I'm a group that I'm a board member of has on the second. If we can do it once a month on the fourth, it would be better. But I'll do what we need to do. Check.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other comment? Oh, Teresa, your hands up.
Yes. So do we have our next meeting scheduled yet? Are we going to go with the Thursday or not?
Yes.
Okay. So are we saying, I'm looking at the,
second Thursday in June.
So we're skipping from the 9th May.
What about
15th of June.
What about the 4th Thursday of June?
Teresa, I don't have a calendar in front of me. What is the 4th?
I'm looking at the
in May.
So we're going one month from today, or 4 weeks from today, which is the 13th of June.
No, May 23rd.
Right? May 23rd is the second. The 4th Thursday.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
I am going to be in Portugal. I cannot commit.
Thank you, Julie.
Access. I don't know what my internet's going to be like there.
The meeting on the 23rd?
What's that?
Are you saying you're available on the 23rd?
No, I'm saying I'm in Portugal on the 23rd.
So
and
who's
going to be out of town on the 23rd traveling?
Can we afford to wait a month? Can we afford to go? Well, do we want to make it the 30th then? Oh,
Here's
you're still going
to deal. I come back on the 5th. Okay. And I'm coming back late on the 5th. So that's just kind of what I've got to deal with. The idea of meeting online and everybody going through this thing that I sent them and creating subcommittees, you all have access to the Google group. You can create subcommittees on the Google group, and we can immediately go to meeting once a month. But we need to have people step up and actually take on these responsibilities. I really like the idea of not spending a lot of time talking on Zoom about these things and spending a lot more time reading thoughtful comments and ideas on email. The thing that the Google group does is everything goes there, and it lives there forever. So you can always go back and look at it.
Then let me ask you this. Okay. Julie had some things that she thought were most important. One of them that she mentioned is also most important to me.
It's on the agenda.
So, I mean, I could ask now, do you want to be a group, be in a subgroup that talks about that? And that was filling alternates positions. If someone quits, that's what I would like to work on. To me, that's the most important thing.
Julie, are you?
Let me just quick. I'm up for it if my day job allows me to.
Mm-hmm. May I make a suggestion? Is that we could meet without Fred?
Absolutely.
It seems like we should have somebody just, if somebody would be willing to chair the meeting, that we could have the meeting. I think having one meeting,
join. Minerva, would you be willing to chair the meeting?
Who? Sure, I could. He's asking me, this is Minerva. And sure, I can do that because in essence, as stated, we're going to open the meeting and we'll talk about, what people want to do or if they've done some committee work, they'll be able to share it in terms of one of these motions. So is that okay?
I love
with everyone.
Idea.
Yes.
So we're definitely meeting on the 23rd.
You're going to meet on the 23rd and I will see what my internet's like and I'll try to weigh in, but Minerva will still run the show.
Do you want me to schedule this meeting on KPFTX or is Michael going to do it?
Michael, do you want to answer that question?
I can do it.
Okay.
I have no access to the website. I can do it. I'll schedule it.
You do have access to KPFTX now?
Yes, correct. I do.
Good. Very good. Okay. So can we say since you won't be on the call, Fred, can we maybe limit it to discussing just four?
I'm not going to be the chair, so ask Minerva that question.
Can we limit it to like the top four bylaw changes?
Well, you could do whatever you want. Everybody got them. The first one is the thing that Julie brought up about all these little things that need to be corrected. The second one is the financial authority one. The third one is the virtual one, and that should be actually really simple because I don't think anybody – let me just speak a little bit to that virtual one. Each one of these radio stations covers an area that is far bigger than Berkeley or Houston or New York or Washington, D.C. or L.A. And we are hurting ourselves by not integrating – people outside of those communities into these events. One of the things that I do is every week I run a poetry group that covers the entirety of North America, including Canada. And I've been doing it for 5 years. If you like poetry, drop me a line. I'll put you on the list. It's beautiful. And some of these people we've never met, but we've come to know each other wonderfully and we work wonderfully together. And we're not doing that at our stations. The stations are much bigger than a town. We need to do all this on Zoom. I mean, I would have never met Jan Goodman or Teresa or Nikki or Otis or Julie or Kaja if we were meeting in Berkeley. No, it just wouldn't. It's economically unfeasible. And so I think that we need to actually change the bylaws so that we can run these events, run these meetings, run these committees, run the PNB by Zoom. It's a fabulous new tool. Let's pick it up and use it.
That's right. You'll have no arguments here. It's Minerva.
I love you, Minerva. You're fabulous. Jim, you have your hand up. You would like to speak.
Well, that raises other issues. And I personally think that if we're going to start talking about bylaws, changes, then I think we could think about bylaws changes that require the foundation to include as part of its broadcasting mandate, social media, Facebook, Zoom, et cetera, because we don't know where these technologies are going, Zoom in particular. And these are forms of broadcast. And, you know, one of the things that we have a problem in is that we don't integrate that enough in our analog operations. So that's one line. The second line is it gets back to something that was raised when Julie was talking, this question of replacements. You know, the whole reason why the election system was set up, and those of us who participated in debates before 2000 know this, was to guard against nepotism and to make sure that we could prevent factions from forming that would implement centralized measures. Now, that, of course, may or may not be how people see the problems these days, but it still gets down to what will all this governance change do? Will it make us a fiscally sound foundation? Will it solve our financial problems, et cetera? You know, what does it all mean? You know, that's the kind of thing I'm thinking of as we talk about this.
I'm glad you're thinking of that stuff. One of the things that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting said is that we need to simplify our bylaws if we want to get funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to do all that stuff. Teresa, your hand's up?
No.
Okay. Minerva, your hand's up?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think, Jim, what you're speaking about is something that would be tied into what Julie mentioned, because definitely we've got an election that's going to be starting pretty soon. So that's one of the key things that we do need to talk about and make sure it's clear before we start trying to get out information to membership on the election and what's going to take place with it. So I agree with the fact of, I think Teresa brought it up, or either Jan, let's look at the first four motions, and then from the meeting that we have, let's talk about when we're going to bring these others on. But I think if we look at the first four, we're going to pull in that election piece. And then one of the key ones is, as been said, look at how we expand, how we communicate with people. And those other Facebook and all those things are something that putting it together that all of the stations will then become engaged in, because the Pacifica Board and governance, you know, is encouraging people to do so, and things will be put in place where people can use those and not everybody say, well, how do we do it? And is it okay to do this, that, and the other? So, you know, I think we're all on the same page about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Minerva. Sally Gellert, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I think our bylaws should be platform neutral. We should just say something like electronic meetings and not go into whether it be Zoom or Maestro conference or whatever one comes up, because they do change.
Excellent idea.
Yeah. I think there was something else. But, oh, yeah. And in terms of replacement, I think however one leaves, whether it's a resignation or automatic due to running for an election or God help us, death or whatever, the replacement method should be the same. Somebody's leaving, they should get replaced by the same way as anybody else who's leaving.
Check. I think that's something you should take to that order, which is, motion four.
Thank you.
We're losing people now. We're quickly disappearing. Jim, you've spoken several times. Is there anybody other than Jim that wants to speak? Otherwise, we'll let
Jim
stop with Jim and Michael.
Jan wants to speak.
Okay, so we've got Jim, Jan, Michael, and then we're going to close the show, and Anthony. We got four of them, and then we're going to close the show out, okay, because we're at 6:46. Jim, please speak.
Well, I will volunteer to deal with CPB issues, because I think the issue, we differ, Fred. I think the issue is basically money. And that always has been the problem. But anyway, that issue has to be flushed out. Anyway, that's all.
Jan, you're up.
Yes. I don't know if we have the time to do all of the preliminary things. And I would have to look at that. Maybe Julie could look at it. But we are in the lucky position of we're having a membership election coming up in, you know, this year. So if there are things that the members have to vote on, if we, you know, put our heads to the grindstone, so to speak, and figure out what those things are and launch into action, that maybe we can get some, you know, significant things changed if they're appropriate and voted on this year with, you know, at no significant additional cost. I don't know if we have time to like have the notice period and this, that, and the other, but we may. So we should look at that and especially concentrate on those items that need membership approval and try to get those done if that's possible.
Excellent. I agree with you. Michael Chang.
We're set for a meeting May 23rd at 5:30. I'll put it 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time. I'll put it on the KPFTX. Who's going to prepare the agenda?
I assume that you're going to work with Minerva to prepare an agenda and that you can start with the agenda that I sent out and we'll send out again in a few minutes.
Agreeable, Minerva?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Minerva.
No, I was just saying okay to Michael that we would work on that.
Excellent. Anthony Fest, can I hear from you?
Yes, the square with the tabby cat in it, is that you, Otis, behind the cat?
Yep.
Can you make the chat so people can save it?
I don't know if that's possible, but if he can, we'll see.
It is possible.
He may not be at his computer right now. He will have the chat, though. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's conceivable that what we could do is ask Otis later to send the chat, you know, and maybe to Michael and have Michael distribute it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know what? I'm just copying the chat right now. I'm going to enter to something and we'll just, oh God, wait a sec. This may be a nightmare. I've done this before and it gets to be very problematic. Edit, paste special, unformatted text. Let's see if that works. Everyone. No, it doesn't. Well, not that worked. Okay. I will send it out as well, Anthony.
Yeah. So Fred, you can have your co-host, so you can copy the chat.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
Yeah, it's, okay, click the three dots and click copy chat. It'll be saved to your
Dawson. Bless you. Oh God, Michael, you are such a hero. Minerva. Michael is a fantastic wealth of information and help.
Yes, he is. Thank you.
Cool. All right.
Well, this has been a very pleasant meeting. I really, really, really think that this is the way to do things. And I really hope that everybody looks at the agenda, picks sections that they want to deal with, finds other people that want to deal with that section, and you guys get everything wrapped up so I don't have to deal with this anymore.
Okay. From your lips to God's ears.
Point of information.
Yes.
Could I actually move that the personnel committee be made a standing committee at the PNB and then send it to the five LSBs for approval? Through this governance committee?
Six, seven, eight. 9, 10. We have 10 people. So if you want to make that motion and there's no objection to it, does any objection to making the personnel committee a permanent stood up committee?
Standing committee, yeah.
The personnel committee works on workers' rights. It helps the ED qualify people for various positions. It protects the organization itself. And it has a number of professionals on the committee, and that would take something off our agenda.
Julie, can we do that?
Yeah. So I put in the chat a while ago that like the person, you know, making the personnel committee a standing committee was precisely the kind of bylaws change amendment. It does not need to go to a vote of the membership. It doesn't affect that list of five things that I talked about before. It's really just about how we, you know, sort of, it's governance stuff, right? And so, you know, another important thing that the personnel committee does is, you know, if we would have a vacancy in the executive director position, fill that position. That's how we have our current executive director. And, you know, another thing is doing performance reviews. And so that's the kind of thing that our bylaws say we should do that every year. And yet the personnel committee is not a standing committee, right? So it's like, so why not? That doesn't make any sense, right? So,
Cherie, so, yes. Can we get a second?
Second, Jan second.
Okay. Is there any objection?
I have a question. Okay. So
you moved this, Teresa.
I know, but I'm wondering if we would need a
question into this.
Because I'm saying, okay, maybe I think maybe we need to get this. I need to write it so we could get it approved on the 23rd because we would need to say who would be on that committee.
I don't think we need to say who would be on that committee.
In the motion, we would need to.
No. So the thing is, I think what you do need to do is spell out what the bylaws amendment is to say, this is the bylaws amendment that we're recommending, you know, that the PNB vote on. You can't just sort of say, you know, hand wavy, let's make, you know, the personnel committee a standing committee. I think you actually need language that says,
okay,
this
here's
is what the bylaws amendment
here's the
be.
Language that was in the agenda that everybody got sent. Motion 6 in order received. Established personnel committee is a standing committee to assist the network in screening qualified applicants and complying with workers' rights as well as state and federal regulations.
Well, I don't think it needs to, no, I don't think it needs to be phrased that way.
Well, then I guess you're going to have to deal with it on the 23rd.
I'm going to prepare that so on the 23rd we could vote on that.
Excellent.
if we have a majority on this committee.
And I hear a move to adjourn.
So move. Jan Goodman.
Any objection? Thank you all so much for your time. I will send out the agenda again. Oh, Christina Avalos, I saw your name, your hand go up.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to clap or a thumbs up.
Okay. I know you were quiet today, Violetta. It's Violetta, correct?
Right.
Violetta was quiet today, and I sure hope that we can hear more from you in the future.
Okay.
We're
all
here.
Right.
All right. We want more opinions.
Bye, everyone. Okay. Have a good evening, and Fred, have
all right.
a good trip.
Good evening.
Be safe.
Yes.
Thanks,
everyone. Safe travels, Fred. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you so much, all of you.
Yep.